All right, let's turn in our Bibles tonight now back to Revelation to chapter 9. Back to Revelation chapter 9. And we are going to now look specifically at the trumpets, the fifth and the sixth. We're going to look at three of them tonight, if we have the time, and I think we will. But we will see tonight how these trumpets are going to impact the world, and they're going to be they're huge. They're absolutely huge. They are worldwide endeavors. They will impact all of the earth. Everyone on the earth is going to be impacted by all of this. Now, last week, I kind of laid the foundation for you by looking at the devil and how Satan was the anointed cherub, according to Ezekiel 28, and that he was the son of the morning, as described in Isaiah 14. And then back in Ezekiel 48, he was full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. And then according to Hebrews 1:18 or 1:14, I'm sorry, the job, the function of angels was the reason God made them was so they could serve as ministering spirits to those of us who are the heirs of salvation. But what we found last week, or what we looked at last week, was the fact that Satan was not happy with the position that he was given. He rebelled against God. And according to Isaiah 14, he wanted to exalt himself above God. And of course, God would not tolerate that. And Satan said, I will be like the Most High. And God said, no, you won't. There's only one Most High, and it's not you. And so according to the book of the Revelation chapter 12, we saw last week that he enticed one third of all the created angelic host that were in heaven to rebel with him against God. And so when the devil was booted out, all of these angels that supported Satan were also kicked out. And when the devil came to the earth, he set his sights on man. On Adam and on Eve. And of course, he was thinking there that if he can get them, then he can get God. And that was why he attacked them. He knew that God loved them. He knew that they had been created by the hand of the Lord. And so he set his attack against them. Now, I think personally, this is what I shared with you last week. I think personally that Satan was hoping to amass a mighty human army possessed and controlled by his host of fallen angels and have them attack and come after God. And if successful, he would rob God of the purpose for creating man. And of course, the reason that God created man was so that man would fellowship with him. And so Satan set out to break that fellowship and to get man to serve him instead of serving God. But what happened? Well, again, God foiled the devil's plan. You'll remember in our study in the book of Genesis last year that we are told that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. You see, the righteousness of Noah spared Noah from destruction, and the evil corrupted seed of Cain was destroyed. So all of mankind, and there was 2,000 years now, don't forget that, there was 2,000 years from Adam to Noah. And in that 2,000 years, it is believed that the earth was greatly populated. And you'll remember that before the flood, men lived longer than what we live now. After the flood, that canopy fell, and we have been now exposed to the harmful rays of the sun. And of course, then you have the very nature of sin, which has only made our lives shorter. The wages of sin is death, and not only physical death, but of course the spiritual death. But not only spiritual death, that's the reason why we die. And so over time, sin has brought death quicker and quicker upon mankind. We live longer today than the last generation, but the reason we do is because of all the medical advances that we have made. But the righteousness of Noah was spared, Noah and his family, and God basically started over with Noah and his three sons and their wives, and the seed of Cain was destroyed. And so so what happened? Well, somewhere along the way, I don't know if it was when Noah got on the ark and the flood came. I don't know. The Bible does not tell us exactly when it was. But we do know that that somewhere along the way, I read another commentator this week who made an argument for this happening when the Tower of Babel thing happened, and they tried to build a tower to take them up to God so that they could take over heaven. And this commentator believes that was when these fallen angels that fell from heaven with Satan were then, many of them, locked up in a place that the Bible simply refers to, our English Bible simply refers to as hell. All right, so Jude 6 and then 2 Peter 2 and verse 4, and with all of these defeats by God to toward the devil, all occasioned by the devil's resistance to God's purpose for man, it is easy to see how Satan's hatred of mankind now is indescribably just as bitter as it can be. Satan hates man, and he hates God. He would torment and destroy every last human being if God would let him. If God was not constantly restraining the devil, then the devil would undoubtedly torture and destroy all of us. But God is not going to let him do that. All right? So here are these angels now, these fallen angels. I'm going to say to you that they're demons. They're devils. And I don't like calling them angels, because when I think of an angel, I think of something good. And these fallen creatures that fell with Lucifer are not good beings. They are only evil continually. And right now, I think that that it's clear that they are locked up in hell, in a chamber, and I'll say more about that in a moment, but in a chamber in hell, these men, these angels, these demons are locked up and are awaiting for this ninth chapter, for the time when in this ninth chapter they will be turned loose upon the earth. All right, now let's look at verse 1. It says in verse 1, "And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth. And to him was given the key of the bottomless pit." Now, I want you to notice it says a fallen star. A fallen star. And that fallen star is given a key. All right, now, let's hold your place here and go back to the first chapter for just a moment and notice that John saw or he heard a voice behind him. And if you look at verse 17, when John turned around to see who was speaking to him, he said, "And when I saw him," and he saw the Lord, "I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen." All right, so think about that now. John saw this vision after the Lord was crucified on the cross, was buried in the borrowed tomb, and then after he was resurrected on the third day, and then after he was he ascended into heaven to take a seat at the right hand of the Father. All right, so that's when all this happened. Now look at verse 18 carefully. Here's how the Lord describes himself. He says, "I am he that liveth." All right, so the Lord was alive. I am he that liveth. And then he said, "and was dead." All right, so what's he referring to here? Well, he is referring to his incarnation, to coming to this earth, and to his death on Calvary's cross. But then he is also referring to his resurrection. And you'll notice here that that when he is alive, he is the second time, he is alive forevermore. So in other words, he's eternal. He came and he died. Yes, that was the plan. But wait a minute, he did not get killed. He gave his own life. All right, he said, "No man takes my life, I lay it down. And if I lay it down, I will take it up again." And so he said, "I am he that liveth." So referring to the fact that he left heaven, came to this earth, and lived on this earth for 33 and a half years. But then he said, "I am he that was dead." So he died on the cross, and then they took him down from the cross. You say, "Well, how do you know he was dead?" Because they buried him. That's how I know. All right? You bury folks who have passed away. You don't bury living folks. You bury those who have died. And so he said, I am he that liveth. That was his life here on earth. And was dead. That's the crucifixion. And that is being put in the borrowed tomb of Joseph. And then he said, I am alive forevermore. So when he came out of that tomb, victorious over sin, over death, and over the grave. All right, but now notice the last phrase there. There's a little semicolon, and it says, and have the keys of hell and of death. All right, now the keys of hell and of death. Now you have heard me say that many a time that when you have the keys, you have the control. All right, now go back to chapter 9. And so it says, the fifth angel sounded, and he saw a star fallen. All right, the tense of the word fall in the Greek New Testament is what is called the perfect tense. All right, now I've explained to you we have three tenses in English: past, present, and future. Past, present, and future. Every verb is described as either past action, present action, or future action. Okay, now in the Greek language, there are 40, all right? Not three, but 40. That's what makes Greek so difficult, Koine Greek, the old Greek. And that's what makes it so difficult, but it is also what makes it so so precise. And so when it says here that I saw a star fall, okay, the idea was that in the perfect tense, and the idea means this: that he saw a star that had fallen. All right, so it is referencing an action that was completed in the past. So John saw not a falling star, but he saw a fallen star. Well, I wonder who that is. Well, I can tell you who that is. That is the devil. Now, it does not specifically say that it was the devil, but this fallen star is no doubt Satan. And so the Lord, according to 1:18, the Lord has the keys. He went down after the crucifixion when he gave up the ghost. He ascended or descended into the lower parts of the earth, into what the Bible calls Hades, the realm of the dead. And in Hades, there what were these different compartments where the Lord went down to one of those compartments, and he took the keys away from Satan. All right, he took the keys. And now in chapter 9 and verse 1, what we're going to see is the Lord give him one key. And that key is to the bottomless pit. Look at your Bible. It says, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. Now that is an amazing statement right there. All right? He receives the key to the bottomless pit. Now, who has the keys to death and to Hades, to hell? Who has those keys? Well, the Lord Jesus does. And he got them when he was crucified. He went down and into Hades, into the realm of the dead, and he took those keys from the devil. And so he receives the key, and then what the Lord Jesus did this for was to complete his plan which will allow the devil to open up the bottomless pit and unleash these evil warriors, these demons, these fallen creatures. He's going to unleash them upon society. All right, now again, look carefully at that last phrase. And to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. Now, I did some checking on this week, on this word, bottomless pit, and it literally, if you take the words and literally break them down, it literally translates this way: the pit of the abyss. The pit of the abyss. Now, the word abyss comes from a Greek word meaning without depth. All right, now let that sink in. All right, the word abyss, remember, bottomless pit, it means the pit of the abyss. If you translate it literally from the Greek words that are there, the pit of the abyss. And the word abyss comes from a root that means without depth. And the King James translators, I think, properly translated that word as bottomless. You see, it is, hell and Hades and the lake of fire, these are all various compartments within Hades, the realm of the dead. So within the realm of the dead, you've got the lake of fire in there. There's nobody there yet. All right, we're not going to see anyone cast into the lake of fire until the great white throne judgment. So you've got Hades, the realm of the dead, and you've got all these different compartments, lake of fire. Then you've got hell itself. All right, then you've got Abraham's bosom. Now, there's nobody in Abraham's bosom today. And the reason is because when the Lord went down to get the keys, he took one of the keys and he unlocked Abraham's bosom, and he brought all of the Old Testament saints out of Abraham's bosom and back to the earth, and then when he ascended up to heaven, they ascended with him. Now, can you imagine that? Can you imagine running in to people that you knew, and you knew that they had died? Well, that's what happened. And one of the gospel writers said that they were seen walking upon the streets of Jerusalem. And just imagine that. All right, so that's Hades. And you've got different compartments in it. And one of them was Abraham's bosom. You say, well, Pastor, why didn't those Old Testament saints go straight to heaven? Well, the reason is because in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, it teaches us that it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. So you remember when Jesus came, he went down to the Jordan to hear John preach, and when he did, he went to get baptized, And when John saw Jesus, he pointed his finger at him and said to everybody, "Behold the Lamb of God." Not a lamb, not one of these Old Testament lambs, not a lamb as if one among a whole bunch. No, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. You see, all the Old Testament lambs did was make atonement. They made a covering over sin until the Lord Jesus could come and take away our sin. So he went down after he died on the cross. He went down into the heart of the earth, as Paul says, down into the realm of the dead, down into Hades, and he got the keys from the devil, and then he went over and he unlocked a paradise, brought all of those folks out, and then he locked Hades up. He locked it. Folks, listen, if you know Jesus as your personal Savior, you couldn't get into hell if you wanted to. It's locked to you. It's locked up. You can't get in. It's locked to you. And Jesus has the key. He is not going to let the devil have the key and then grab you by the nape of the neck, unlock the door, and throw you in and lock the door back. No, sir. No, sir. You are safe and secure in Christ. All right, so now let's get back to this abyss. The word means without depth, and it, I think, is properly translated bottomless. Now, think about this, folks. The Bible teaches that hell, Hades, is down. It's always down. In the Bible, hell is always down. And it is apparently at the center of the earth. So think about that. The truth is, when you get to the center of the earth, then there is no up or there is no down. When you get to the center of the earth, all right, you get to the heart, to the center of the earth and its boundaries in any direction are all ceilings. Think about that. When you get down to the bottom of the, into the heart of the earth, to the center of the earth, where the Bible describes hell and tells us hell is located, it's always down. And when you get to the center of the earth, in truth, it has no bottom. It is bottomless. It doesn't make any difference which direction you're going in. Everything's a ceiling. Everything is a ceiling. You cannot go down in any direction. The pit, however, is apparently a reference to one of its of Hades' imprisoning cells that is described in the Bible. All right, so turn with me and I'll show you that. It's just a few books back in 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. Are you there? All right, look at verse 4. It says, "For if God spared not the angels that sinned." Now, who's he talking about? He's talking about those at one-third of heaven's angels that fell with Satan. And so if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to, what's the next word? Hell. Do you see that? He cast them down, down, down. Hell is always down. Where's down from wherever you are right now? Down is inside the earth. So he cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. All right, now go back to that little word hell right there. That little word hell that King James translators translated hell. Well, that word is the word Tartaros. Tartaros. And it evidently is one of the imprisoning cells. It is a place where somewhere along the way, I don't know when it was. I don't know if it was when Adam sinned. I don't know if it was when the flood waters receded. I don't know if it was when Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. I don't know if it was when Nimrod tried to build a tower up to God so that they could go and pull a coup in heaven. I don't know exactly when it was, but whenever it was, that is when the Lord put these in that place called Tartaros, called, translated, hell. And they are still there tonight. And they are awaiting their judgment. And before their judgment is pronounced, then the Lord is going to let them out for the purpose of using them in judgment upon a rebellious mankind. All right, so look at verse 2. Man, I hope you got all that. I know it was a lot, but look at verse 2. We got to quickly go here. Running out of time. All right, look at verse 2. In verse 2, it says, "And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke in the pit." Wow. That's pretty serious, isn't it? I've been watching this fella online who gives a daily update of the volcano that is erupting over off the coast of Spain. And here's this little tiny island, and it's got a lot of people live on that little island, and there's this huge volcano that is just pouring the lava, and it'll slow down, and then it'll explode, and it'll throw rocks out bigger than a school bus. And those rocks are just lava rocks. They're on fire. They're burning. And they just go rolling down that mountain, down that stream of lava. And every time I have seen that, and that guy shows that on his videos, every time I see that, I think about this. I think about where all of that is generated, and the pressure and the heat that must be underneath the earth. And so this bottomless pit is where these devils are imprisoned. But now notice what happens. Great smoke comes out of the pit. This indicates that somewhere there is on this earth, there may be several somewheres on this earth, there is an opening leading to a great shaft through the earth's crust and through the earth's mantle, and it will go all the way down to hell. And just because we have not found it does not mean that it is not there. It is locked right now, remember? It's locked right now, but it's going to be opened during the tribulation period. And what's going to happen? Look at verse 3. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. So they're going to punish the unsaved world. They're going to punish, they're going to judge the unsaved world. Isn't that amazing? These locusts are going to come right out of hell, right out of hell, right out of the pit, right out of the abyss. Now, what are these things? Well, I'm telling you, they're not something you want to mess with. I think that's pretty clear. I wouldn't want to mess with them. You see, these are these demons. These locusts that come out of the pit, these are those demons that have been locked up for all these years now, and they're not in a good mood when they get released, all right? They're not in a good mood. It seems to me that there is no escaping the conclusion that these locusts from hell are indeed demonic spirits that have been long confined in the pit of the abyss, but now are released for a little season so men will understand the fearful consequences of the choice they were making by continuing to reject God's great salvation. I'm telling you, folks, this is not going to be pretty when this unfolds. Go back over to 1 Peter this time. 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. And look, please, at verse 19. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 19. All right, let's go back and get 18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. By which also, watch this now, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. Huh. Which sometime were disobedient. When once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. All right, so what do we learn right there? Well, we learn that these fallen angels have heard the Lord's proclamation of victory when he died on the cross and was buried and then resurrected. Because after his resurrection, he descended into Hades. After his death on the cross, he went down, according to Peter, and preached, literally preached, to the spirits in prison. And the point is, folks, they know God's plan. And they know the plan from the mouth of the Lord Jesus himself. That Christ actually descended into the same abyss is clearly taught to us there. And also, let me read you one more verse and then I'll quit. Look at, you need not turn to it. I'll just read it to you. It's in Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10 and in verse 7, it says, let's go back and get 6. It says, but the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is, to bring Christ down from above. Or who shall descend into the deep? That is, to bring Christ again from the dead. You see, he didn't need our help. I mean, he resurrected on his own. So Paul asked a rhetorical question, and the answer is that only the Lord Jesus Christ can do this, and that he did and took the keys from the devil and led the saints of God out to go to heaven, but he left those demons in the pit after he preached his plan of salvation to them. Now, this malignant swarm knew all of this as they surged, as they will surge out of this prison. And why are they sent? To torment. To torment. Who are they going to torment? The unsaved. And men are going to be praying to die, folks. They're going to be praying to die. I don't know. I've never been stung by a locust, but these have the power to sting like a locust. And they can fly and they can run like a horse. So in other words, men are not going to be able to run from them, to escape. No, these demonic creatures can fly like a locust, they can run like a horse, and they can sting like a scorpion. It's no wonder, folks. It is no wonder. Look at verse 6 of chapter 9 of Revelation. It says, and in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. Oh, my. That, you say, Pastor, I never knew that. I know, it's right here in the Bible, though, isn't it? Man, you better make sure your family's saved. This is their future. This could very well be their future if they don't know the Lord. Think about that. All right, well, I got to quit. I'm not done. I'm never done. But I've got to quit. And I hope that'll help you. I hope that'll pique your interest and get you more in the book and reading it and thinking about it, thinking it through. Folks, just read every word. Think about every word as you read it and let the Word of God speak to your heart. All right, let's close in prayer and then we'll see you back here Sunday morning for the morning service at 10:45. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you now for our time around your Word. I pray you'll bless this. I intended to let go early. I didn't do it. But Father, I pray you'll take what's been said and bless it and use it for your honor and glory. So Father, bless our folks. I pray once again you'll put a hedge around us and keep us safe from the virus. And Father, those that have it, I pray that you will quickly heal their bodies and get them back to themselves. And Father, back to church and back to serving you. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. All right. God bless you. Good night.